Well, we want to take a shortest time as possible and review some of the important principles in the Harp and Bowl model. Now, most of you are aware that we have this handbook, and we want everybody that's on a worship team and the students who are just joining worship teams, interns, whatever, to read this and take some time, because we've worked through these principles for 21 years. Now, today, I'm not going to go through the whole model. I'm not going to cover things that are so easy to find here. But rather, Stuart and I want to talk about a few of the key points that today seem confused to some people, or others are not even aware of them. But for the first 15 years of IHOP, these were principles that literally 99% of everybody understood. And there's something powerful when there's unity, because you don't have the criticism. Because if there's not a unified expectation where you're going, people end up saying, well, yeah, but you're not, but you did, but you didn't. And the section leader talks to the singer, and the singer gets upset. And clarity is really the key. So I'm going to start with this. Here in chapter 2 and 3 is where I'm going to spend all my attention, chapter 2 and 3 here, which is issues related to the model and the structure itself. If you don't know the why behind the what, we can tell you the what. This is the policy. This is the principle. But if you don't know the why, that what could be very frustrating. And some people join us and they only hear the what, and they think, that doesn't make sense to me. And we care that it makes sense to you. So I'm encouraging you to study the why, or to ask a section leader, or to ask us, because we want you to understand every one of these principles. Stuart, you've been here the whole 21 years. We labored through every principle. We had a why behind every what. And some folks, when they hear that, they go, oh, well, that makes more sense. That's not how we did it back home, but it's a different setting, and you got different goals and a different divine assignment. Two of the values I want to highlight, we've got 16 values that we highlight in the book here, in the handbook, team ministry. There's so much more we can do if 10 people on the stage and the prayer leader, if they're flowing together with clarity. It's not complicated, but if they have clarity, there's so much more can happen with team ministry. That's why we want this model and this structure, to facilitate team ministry. Another value I'll highlight, just one more, is inclusiveness. We want a model that's so easy that it's not confusing, that the newest member on a worship team, someone who just joined us, they've come through the school or an internship, they've just joined us, they're not even that strong on their instrument yet, but they're good enough. They've passed the audition, but they're not at the level the people have been doing it for 20 years. Inclusiveness, where we get everyone gets to play and be involved. And so the model facilitates that.
You know, the thing is, that's interesting is that what this does, it produces confidence in people. And, you know, I think back 20 years ago when we first joined staff. 21 years ago when we first joined staff. And I consider myself, pretty bold in terms of my personality. I wouldn't pray in a microphone because I didn't know what the on-ramps were. Yeah. And I never forget the very, very first staff meeting where we talked about this and it clicked. And that gave me confidence to go do it. And so
the model is a communication tool. It's a communication tool. The model is not a set of rules. It's a communication tool. So the 10 people on the stage and the prayer and the intercessors, they, without even looking at each other, just by hearing different things, they can know where it's going. The model is a permission-giving mechanism. Because the model says, hey, singer, you do this, singer, you do this, singer, you do this. So the singers go, we're not dominating, we're supposed to do that. And so they have confidence to do it. So the model is a communication tool that enhances the flow of the Holy Spirit. That's the point of the model. Whenever we find it gets in the way of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to figure out ways to do it differently. It enhances creativity and spontaneity, which I connect with the flow of the Spirit. The second point of the model is a communication tool. You already said it. It produces confidence. Because if you don't know what's expected of you, you can be timid, hesitant. And if the singers are hesitant and the instruments and the musicians are hesitant, they're going, I don't know if I'm out of line. I don't know if I have permission to do this. then we don't get the flow. And it takes away the fear of am I missing God? No, this is how we're flowing. Here's where we're going. Or the fear of, am I being too dominant? I'm singing a lot. I've done. No, you're the chorus leader. You're supposed to sing a lot. Okay, as long as everybody knows, I'm not trying to be dominant. So it takes away timidity and fear, and it facilitates unity. One of the great things about our model, we have 16 teams typically. Is that the number we have? It was 15. 15, oh, yeah, it used to be 14, 15, something like that. It changes every now and then. We put more together. But it's with a unified model, it's transferable. Someone can go from the morning section to the evening section. Someone can go from this team to another team. Or a sub can come in, even from the school, and they said, we get it. We know what the boundaries are. And that's why we want a unified model, because it just gives confidence even to the subs when they come. They get what's going on. Now, the model itself is not a worship style. Some people look at our kind of the prominent worship style, which is not on purpose, is soft rock, isn't it? It's just nobody said you had to do that. That's not the model, not soft rock. That's just what people choose. The model is a communication tool that can serve any worship style. So don't think of it as soft rock is the model. It's not. Any worship style you want, music style is what I mean, this communication tool, it works with all of them. Now, having said that about different music styles, I want to say that we have a real clear divine mandate, and I'm not going to go into the why of that right now, that our primary a way to lead worship is with an intimacy of God, beauty of God, heart of God, focus in our worship, where we're singing to God about His heart and His love and His beauty, and it's an intimacy. All of our worship is not that, but that's our primary assignment in terms of serving the larger body of Christ across the nations, because we're not just serving our house, we're serving the larger body of Christ. And the Lord went out of His way, you know what I mean by that, to tell us intimacy with God was our divine assignment. So the structure really, it identifies times and ways for individual team members to be more creative with their instrument and with their voice. Now, we've changed the model. You know, we've got the basic model the first 2 to 3 years we established it. So we've made tweaks since then. Not a whole lot, but we do have a process to change the model. We're not locked into this, but the process is the section leader team. There's about 10 or 12 on it, and the section leader team has always been about 10 or 12. And when they have a unified consensus, not 100%, but if it's like 90%, 80, 90%, a consensus at that level, then we communicate it to everyone. So worship leaders, singers, musicians, sound techs, if you want to propose a change, don't hesitate. Go to a section leader, propose it. They will bring it to the section leader team, and there'll be a lively discussion. And if there's a unified consensus, again, not unanimous consensus, we will change it, but then we'll tell everybody about it. So there is a confusion, like they're doing this, but we do that, but they're better, but we're worse, but we're better, they're worse. It takes strife and confusion away if we change the model and communicate it through the system.
Yeah, and this is important because, you know, some have thought that the model was some kind of a divine revelation, but it's real practical wisdom to ensure unity and confidence moving forward as a team.
Yeah, and enhancing the spontaneity and creativity.
For it's not a sacred cow. We're open to changes as long as it goes through the process.
So I'm asking you not to do something different on the stage and then propose it. I ask you to think of the idea and then propose it. And we might say, you know what, we're going to take a week and experiment with that one before we seal it, so to speak, and tell everybody about it. So tip us off. Let us talk about it. So we have unity and everyone. We got each other's back at every level. Again, that minimizes strife and confusion. Now, the government, this might be new to some people, but it's been true for 21 years. The government of the prayer room is the section leader team, meaning it's not the worship leaders. It's not the sound techs. It's not the prayer leaders. It's not me. It's the team of 10 or 12 or 13 people. It's the collective team is the government of the house, because we have a responsibility in that conversation. And there's been times I wanted something and the team says, we don't think that's the best. And I yielded. It's the team is the government of the house, that 10 or 12 section leader team, because we have a responsibility internationally to present something that serves the nations and encourages them. And we have also responsibility to make it such a way where we can recruit more staff and they fit in. Because some folks are thinking of changes that makes it fun for us four no more. And I'm thinking, no, we've got new staff we got to recruit. We got people we're serving across the nation. We're thinking at several different levels, not just would this be fun for our team. And I do appreciate that, but it's a bigger subject than that. So the government of the prayer room is not a section leader, but the section leader team. But we have mandated the section leaders that they are to hold the line in their six-hour section. And somebody says, well, I want to be on the section leader team. Well, let us know, wave, but here's the downside. It's 6 hours a day commitment, 5 or 6 days a week. Some go 5 days, some go 6 days. I think most go 6 days a week. And they have to be in the room, engaged, paying attention. They got to have hard conversations. They got to do problem solving. There's administrative dimensions to it. There's fix-it problems. Being a section leader is a tough role. So some guys said, I want to be a section leader, but I only want to drop in once a day. I go, no, no, come in all the way that you could be part of the government. And so if that's something you really want to do, wave at us and let us talk to you about it. But every individual worship set does not have its own separate government. Every team, yes, worship leaders have some responsibilities. We've outlined them real clear. I have them on page 35 and 36. The prayer leaders have some responsibilities. The section leaders representing the whole section leader team have responsibilities. So any one set doesn't belong to one person. And that kind of is new to some folks that have come here. They go, oh, I didn't know that. And I said, no, we've got an international mandate and we've got to recruit new people and they've got to fit in and we got other things that we're considering besides it maybe being fun for your team, though I do like that. Fun is good, right?
Absolutely.
Fun is really good. Okay. Four elements. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say that if it wasn't for the international mandate, there's certain things we'd be a lot more lax on. But because there is an international mandate and because people do emulate the things that we do, it is important that we uphold.
And we serve them and we answer to it. Right. And we have critics and we're helping other schools and other internships. And they're thinking, wait, what are you doing now? We can't do that. You made it hard for us. Right. And so we want enjoyable prayer that can be facilitated by any group across the world nearly. There's always that one group that can't do it. But okay, four elements of a worship cycle. Page 25 to 35 in this book, this handbook, the four elements of a worship cycle we've gone over and over. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them, but I'm going to highlight a couple points that I find that some are confused by, some are not even aware of, others are just ambivalent. Is that the right word?
Ambiguous,
ambivalent, something like that. You know what I mean about it. Number one is the corporate worship songs, obviously. Number two, spontaneous singing. Number three, developing a passage. That's our main principle there. And number four, the optional prayers that the prayer leader can call, the rapid fire, the small group, the pray for the sick. Those are the four different elements of a worship cycle. That third one, developing a passage, I want to zero in on that because some folks on our team don't understand. That's our primary governing principle of our model, is that one. Developing a passage through antiphonal singing. And the way we develop a passage through antiphonal singing, it's right in the book. They sing through the passage. The prayer leader isolates a phrase. The singers develop the phrase, and then we have choruses. Let me say that again. The singer sings through the passage. The prayer leader, I'm talking worship of the word now, isolates a phrase. The singers develop the phrase, and there's spontaneous choruses and oracles. There's various things like that that can happen at any given time during that developing a passage or any time actually during the worship cycle. Now, the optional prayers, element number four is the optional prayers that the prayer leader chooses in the intercession sets. That's praying for the sick, rapid fire prayer, and small group prayer. Those are the three main ones. And we're asking, as a rule, to engage in those three almost every prayer meeting. There's that one prayer meeting, oh, it doesn't work. That's okay, don't worry about it. Because in COVID, things are a smaller number, but in typical, there's 100 to 300 people in the room. That's how they get to play in the game, get in the game. The rapid fire, the small group prayer, and the prayer for the sick. And prayer leaders, I want to give you one tip off. Introduce it like in a sentence or two. We don't need a four paragraph explanation to the new person. 98% of the people are regulars and they already know what we're doing. Just say rapid fire, pray what's on your heart. And they just come up and pray out what's on their heart. We don't have to give long exhortations on it. Most of you don't, but I just like to keep that real tight. But worship leaders, we really want the prayer leaders to use those three typically in a 2 hour intercessory time, because that engages the people, because they're going, hey, we want to do something more than sit here.
And the other thing too is when we're talking about team ministry, the room in intercession is a part of that team.
Yes, it is. So, but they care and they talk to us. Right. How come we don't get to? How come they never involve us? How come we don't have, you know? And small group prayer, by the way, we never enforce people to do it. We say, if you want to do it, you know, we always make it voluntary. We don't tell them to stand up and do it. And so some new prayer leaders say, would everybody stand, get in a small group, and then they have to hold hands. And the people are going, well, where did that come from? If you want to be in a small group prayer, stand and just go connect with another person in the room. Okay, page 26, I talk a bit in the handbook here, this Harper and Bull handbook, on spontaneous singing. Singing in the spirit, but it's not only singing in tongues, singing in the spirit, it's singing in English or our main language as well. I'm going to give a couple one-liners, and then you can read more here. Number one, this is really a key part of our model, spontaneous singing. The key point of the spontaneous singing in the human sense is room engagement. Now, here's the tension. There's a couple hundred people in the room. 90% of them are not gifted singers. But everyone on the stage, they are gifted singers. So the gifted singers naturally can easily lead instrumentally and sing in a way that works for them because they're gifted. And 90%, they go, I can't do this. It's out of range. It's syncopated. It's hard to do it. And as a ungifted singer.
Yes. Are you looking at me or are you?
I'm looking at, as an ungifted singer, I can tell you in a second if what's going on the stage is accessible to the majority in the room. And so some worship leaders and musicians, they go, oh, we didn't think about them as being ungifted, and we are, so we don't understand their dilemma. We want them singing with you. Simple chord progressions. I want to urge you, simple chord progressions. That's not the time for pushing the creativity musically. Simple chord progressions. I want to encourage you strongly to not use syncopated rhythms during spontaneous singing. You do it, the stage will sing. They're good, man. They'll be flowing. The room will not be singing. They can't do it. And again, I've done this for 40 years, not just the 21 years of IHOP. I've been into spontaneous singing for 40 years as a pastor. And I've watched it. We've analyzed it. I've talked to hundreds of worship leaders over the years or whatever the number is. Sing easy melody lines. Don't go high up and real low or high, you know, octaves. Easy, simple, middle range melody lines. Worship leader, urge all of your singers to sing. If only one singer is singing, it's weird, one singer singing in tongues and the room's, if I'm in the room and I can hear you because there's only one person singing, then that means you can hear me. I'm not going to sing. The room's got to be full, not full of music, but it's got to be a full sound. Urge your singers, everyone, to engage, because if you all engage with easy melody lines, easy voice ranges, the room will jump with you. But if you phase out, they won't. They're too embarrassed for the person next to them to hear their voice. Another just a real simple thing, acoustic guitar. I found this really the most practical thing over the years. You get a strong rhythm on the acoustic guitar, real simple. The room engages more. I don't know why. I'm sure there's a musical reason, but if you don't have acoustic guitar, I urge you, I mean, maybe you don't always have one on your set, but that will strum it. Don't finger pick it. Strum it, and the room will engage in spontaneous.
You know, I just want to comment just real quickly. You know, the scriptures tell us, the scripture calls us to sing. It actually is a commandment. And so when the singers sing, they're actually helping the church to fulfill the
command. When they're singing and it's an easy range and an easy chord progression, we can all do it. It's really fun. But if they're not singing or it's hard, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, and when it's strong and solid, more will jump in and participate.
Okay, we're just going to go a few more moments here. I want to, another thing on spontaneous singing. We haven't done this the last 3 or 4 years much, but I really want to get back to this. We did it for 15 years in spontaneous singing with a chorus and in the chorus with the name of God. And oh God, anything, just real quick, here's why. Like I'll go up there in intercession and spontaneous singing. So I'm getting up there, no, because I'm not in a hurry. And the spontaneous singing goes up, great. And it comes down, I think I'm supposed to go, and then the singers phase out, but one singer hangs on, and I'm going, well, I don't want to step on her toes. But then the worship leader goes right back up again, go up as many times as you want. I don't want to speed you up or step on your toes or get in your way, but I don't want you going, are you waiting on us or I'm waiting on you? End with a chorus. Then I crystal clear, you're done, and I haven't sped you up. And that will be true of everyone. We did that, I mean, all the prayer leaders. We've done that for 15 years, the first 15 years. It was just effortless. I mean, when they sang a chorus, I knew I was on next. And I wasn't, and again, I don't care if the spontaneous singing goes up and down 5 times and if you do it for 30 minutes. I don't care about that. I just want to know when you're done and not just everybody fading out, but one singer kind of being the last one to figure it out and they kind of keep singing and go, oops, sorry.
So again, reinforces the idea that the model is a communication tool.
It's a communication tool. Prayer leaders, we ask you, which they don't shout over the spontaneous singing. We did that for a year, maybe 2008 or something. I can't remember. It was fun. Like I got up there and a bunch of us did, you know, when the spontaneous, we prayed, we felt energy. But we did it for about a year, but we found out something we did not anticipate. It shut down the antiphonal singing and the oracles because the singers were not sure when they were supposed to go. And I mean, it took a few months. It shut it down. So we got 25 prayer leaders and worship leaders in the room and had a 2-hour discussion and everyone agreed. I mean, 100%, let's not do that anymore. And it was kind of fun for the prayer leaders, but it was not so practical for the singers. They didn't know what to do.
And it shuts down the room as well.
Yeah, it shuts down the room too, but it was fun for us. But I joyfully submitted to it and said, okay, let's.
You know, real quick, you know, Missy Edwards, she said this years ago and it stayed with me. She says, when we talk, it invites people to spectate, and when we sing, it invites people to participate.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. Say that again. That is like I've never heard that.
Yeah, no. She said that some years ago. She said that when we talk, it invites people to spectate, and when we sing,
to spectators,
and when we sing, it invites people to participate. So when they're talking over the spontaneous singing, people begin to spectate rather than participate or engage.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I know the room didn't engage as much, but the singers is what dropped out. They didn't have confidence that they were supposed to jump in. They were going, now? Are you sure? Oh, sorry. And I said, no, let's get rid of that hesitation. That's what we lost, the fresh spark on the singers. Okay, we're going to look for a moment. I want to take about 3 minutes on this one. This is a really important one. I'm be talking to the prayer leaders even more than the worship leaders and the singers. So you can look at page 33 to 36 on the worship with the word. We have the roles lined out of the singers, the worship leader, the prayer leader. The purpose of the worship with the word, I want to get back to it. For 15 years, super clear. The last 4 or 5 years, we've drifted from it. Some new prayer leaders, they've never been told this and they're a little confused by it. They go, wow, why didn't anybody tell me? I don't know. We're reestablishing it. Because it's, I believe this is the best way, and our leadership team has always held the line on this, the section leader team. The purpose of the worship of the word is to train the singers to be a singing seminary. It is not for the prayer leader to be the teacher. It's for the singers to be the teachers. Because a lot of them are 22, 23, they go, I don't know that passage. That's the point. We're pushing you. Now that they used to study the passages like crazy, and it gives the singers more chances for creativity. There's a lot more creativity if they're the prominent role and function in the worship of the word. And that's the singing seminary. So here's what I would like to go back to this. Some of you still do this, but for 15 years, everyone did it. Worship leader, you pick the passage you want, bring in a worship outline. And if you don't know what a worship outline is, if you're real new, just ask someone around. We've done it so many years, where you just break down 3 or 4 or 5 cycles with the passage. You put the passage in it in 3, 4, 5 cycles. And singer one, just go in order, sings the first cycle. And they got the 3 verses, you know, verses 1 to 3. They sing it. They can edit it while they're singing it. They may skip a few phrases. They may add a few phrases. So they sing through, but they get to use their voice. They get to go different. They can do an oracle in the midst and right come back to the passage. Then the prayer leader isolates a phrase. What's been happening is we've had the prayer leaders praying the passage. No, the singers, that's a great time for them to jump out and to do something new and different. It's fun for them. And if they're singing that passage, then the prayer leader isolates a phrase. That's his primary or her primary function. Isolate the phrase, make it obvious to the 3, 4, 5 singers, 6, what depends on what season we're in. And you're saying, singers, you develop these phrases now. Now, the prayer leader will throw in phrases. In my early days, I did worship of the word probably 2 or 3 times a week for the first 10 or 12 years. I would rarely ever say more than 7 or 8 words ever. I would throw the phrase out there as the target. They would develop it, and I would throw phrases to spark them. I did not develop the passage. They did. And in the briefing, I taught them the passage. And in the debriefing, I mentored them and said, this is what you can do. So, because sometimes the prayer leaders are the best teachers on the team of that worship team, mentor the young worship, the young singers, and give them the chance, the briefing and the debriefing, and give them feedback on how they can develop that phrase a little bit better. So the prayer leader has a supportive role, The prayer leader is not the teacher. The singers are the teachers. And I'm urging the prayer leaders not to give exhortations. This isn't a teaching opportunity. I love it when teachers teach. I'm a teacher. I love to teach. But in the worship of the word, I really restrain myself. We got to find more opportunities for teachers to teach because I love that they want to teach. But that's a worship sanctuary, and we're training young singers to learn the word. So, and worship leaders, I encourage you not to just give the antiphonal to the singers. Again, the first 15 years, the worship leaders constantly were part of the antiphonal singing. The last number of years, the worship leaders kind of draw back. No, lead, jump in. You develop the passage. And then you have a robust conversation afterwards. What did you mean by that phrase?
The worship leader can move the phrase
fast. Yeah, but the prayer leader, make that phrase isolated and just make it super clear so everybody knows what's going on. And we got more details of that in the book there. Okay, last thing here, nearly the last thing, the intercessory format. In the intercessory format, it's again, we lay it out here, the 2-hour intercessory prayer meeting. I want to go back to what we did for years. We got a little bit off the last 2 or 3 years. We went right or left, or I don't even know how it happened. We have worship, you know, we worship for 20, 30 minutes and or whatever, and then we have 3 intercessors in a row. Then after the 3 intercessors, the prayer leader either does a rapid fire or a small group prayer or pray for the sick. Again, we want to use those 3 mostly every intercessory format so that people out in the seats get a chance to get engaged. I don't mind if the prayer leader gets with the worship leader ahead of time and says, I'll do it in this order. I don't think there's anything that mystical about it. Some people go, whatever the Lord's saying. I go, sometimes we can be overly mystical. If you're sick in your body, stand and lay hands on it, but don't give an exhortation on praying for the sick. Just if you're sick in your body and want prayer, everybody knows what to do. Okay, and now the worship leader, they can throw in choruses, long ones if they want, in the middle of any of this. They can throw in oracles. They can take the music anywhere they want to go in those three intercessors. But as a rule, we go for 3, so there's no confusion like the prayer leader asking the worship leader, is there another one? No, she's coming, but she's not here yet, but just wait a minute. Let's get rid of all that and just do what we did for 15, 16 years, 3 in a row, and then either the rapid fire, the prayer for the sick, or the small group prayer, and then we go back into another worship cycle. We sing for 10 or 15 minutes. And again, worship leader, you have full liberty at that time to sing long choruses. You can do oracles. You can get creative in the music in the midst of that.
Yeah, so we don't have to manage a prophetic theme or anything like that. No. Just have the intercessors pray straight in a row and then go from there.
Yes, prayer leaders, yes. We're asking you, because some have felt the responsibility to organize all the intercessors so they all stay on one theme. Again, I don't want to act like a hotshot here, but I've been in daily corporate prayer meetings for 40 years, literally on a daily basis. And the guy prays first, the guy prays second. Mostly the people in the room aren't even connecting it. Not really. We kind of wish they did, but they don't really. And so just the people who sit in the chairs, have them sit. It's first come, first serve. Have them sit in the chairs. Now, the intercessor can come put their Bible in a chair if they want to. They can put their Bible there and reserve a spot, but they need to be in that chair 5 or 10 minutes before they're on. Meaning, I don't want the worship leader going around and, you know, telling people in the room, come and go, because the rest of the people in the room see that and they go, oh, so it's the elite intercessors. We're not involved. Nobody will let us do it. So I'm asking for the intercessors, come put your little marker in the chair if you want, and you go pace around, but be in your chair 5 or 10 minutes before you're on. Really do that. And prayer leaders, don't organize them. Let them do what they want to do. And now there is an exception, people like me. How's that? There's leaders in the room, and if they're in the room 6 or 8 hours a day, they get to be on this list. There's only about 10 people on this list. Where a lead like a Samuel Clow, like yourself, that's in the room many hours, they can come when the spontaneous singing, just go right up there. Because I don't want to sit up in the chairs the entire time because I'm doing a whole lot of other things and I'm working on my journal. I love my computer open and I'm reading the Bible and I'm feeling the prayers and the intercessions. Sometimes I'm preparing for a message, et cetera, et cetera. So now when the prayer leader, when the prayer leader, after this, the worship song, spontaneous singing, the prayer leader prays, now he's in the antiphona. When the prayer leader and the singer are going on the on-ramp at the same time, give priority to the prayer leader. And what I mean is that, like sometimes I'll be praying, and I see this a lot, and I'll be saying a short little phrase of 3-4 seconds, so I mean 3-4 words, but the worship singer won't give me a gap, you know, and I have to shout over them. They won't let me in. And so I want during the intercessory sets for the worship singers to pay attention to the prayer leader. And if we're going on the on-ramp at the same time, singer, hold the note for a second because we're done in 2 seconds and then you jump right in. Now I'm going to go the other way around. When the singers are singing a chorus, prayer leader, intercessor, don't shout over the chorus. Wait for the gaps. Just be a little bit patient and wait for the gaps in the choruses. Don't shout over the choruses. And so prayer leaders, be a little patient for the gaps of the choruses. Singers, be a little patient when the prayer leader is praying. Give them that space to get that four-word phrase in. Hold your note, and then they know you're the next one to sing right afterwards. Okay, and I encourage you to, again, end the courses, do courses anytime you want with a name of God. When you end a course with the name of God, it ends sharp, and everybody knows it's over. One more. No, it's over. A couple more things I'm going to say, just, and then I'm done. Real rapid fire, just a moment on each one. Sacred space. That platform up there and the prayer leader seats, that you know, where the intercessors sit. That whole circle, I consider it always have sacred space, meaning I'm asking for people in the prayer leader, in the intercessor chairs and on the stage, not to crack jokes, not to have conversations, not to be texting. This is sacred space. I really want us to be aware we're worshiping and calling people into worship with us. And we've really done a great job on that for 21 years. I've seen a little bit of jovialness up on the stage. And if you're preaching, doing a seminar, doing a web thing, that's fine. But when we're bringing people into the presence of God, let's just keep it sacred. And so we've held that line for many years and done a great job. It's just a little bit loose every now and then. People texting, people having conversations, leaning over, taking, hey, what are you doing after the prayer meeting? Nah, that's 2 hours. Let's just go all the way. And I'm asking the prayer leaders to do the same. They might come and hug each other, but I'm asking, we're not going to use those 3 chairs for joking around or conversation. A hug, if they're coming up, that's one thing. That's a little bit different. Number two thing I want to say, a final thing here, is that if the sound system stops, singers, you know, keep the fire going. The section leaders and the sound techs, they know the sound system stops. Sometimes the sound system stops and the singers all stop. But we go, we know it stopped. We will take care of it. You guys go strong. The fire has always been on the altar. We always call that the music going. It's never stopped in 21 years. And so no matter what, it's your absolute responsibility to keep it going. No matter if some crazy thing happens in the room, we will jump on it and take care of it. We're aware of it. We're so grateful it hasn't, the fire has not gone off in 21 years. And I'm going to give you my last thing. I have three hand signals I've used the whole 21 years. I may never use them with you, and you don't have to use them, but some people use them. I use them more at EGS and FCF and the One Thing conferences when I'm talking to the worship leader across the stage. And what I do is I have this hand signal. I go, take the hearts of the people and bring them to the Lord. That's a worship song. Like sometimes we'll be stuck, or maybe we're praying over a visiting preacher and the worship leader is going, what do we do now? I go, take the hearts of people, just bring the heart. That means a worship song. That's what I'm saying. Bring the hearts of the people, let's go back to the worship song. Now, I rarely do that at the GPR because sometimes like when YWAM has come and leaders and the leader and the worship leaders aren't sure what to do and they're looking at me and I don't want to mouth it. So do a worship song. If I do this, it was Pablo who taught us that one. That's spontaneous singing. Because way back in 2000, Pablo, he said, it's the boiling water. So I go, that's a great sign. So if I do that, I'm saying, let's go back into spontaneous singing. And again, I would rarely do that at GPR, but I would do more do that at a conference or EGS. You know, when they're looking at me, when I'm prayer leading, like, hey, let's go back into spontaneous singing. If I do this, I'm saying antiphonal. Does that sound like antiphonal? Hey, let's engage in antiphonal right now. But if I really want you to do antiphonal and I'm not doing that, I would just say, in the name of Jesus. Whenever I say in the name of Jesus or other prayer leaders do, they're saying to the worship team, do antiphonal right now. That's really what we're asking you to do if we say it in that definitive way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, release the power of the Holy Spirit. We're asking you to jump in on that.
That's the isolated phrase.
That's the isolated phrase, yes, is Lord, release the power of the Holy Spirit. So go develop it antiphonally like that. Any last comments?
No, this is great. We don't want to encourage you guys just to go through the Harp and Bowl handbook. Get some clarity on it. One of the things that I had to do when I first started was, you know, I was perplexed by some of these principles, but I just kind of said to myself, you know what, this guy has been leading prayer meetings for, back then was 20 years. He's a bit older now.
Now it's
40 years.
I literally started leading daily prayer meetings in May 1979. Yeah. So however many years that is, and I've just, by the grace of God, just stayed with it.
And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to give myself to them. And then if, as I've given myself to it, realize there's some things that need to be changed or tweaked, then I make the appeal to the proper process. And so I just want to encourage you to read through it, give yourself to it. And then once you give yourself to it, you're realizing there's some things you want to change. Submit it to the section leader, and then we'll take it from
there. But just so you know, way back in 99 and 2000, I led the conversation. But at about the year mark, the team started changing it. And I go, okay, yes. I'm going with the team consensus.
Yeah, a lot of the tweaks that we have right now were because of the team.
Yeah, so I didn't create those. And a few of them, I didn't like them that much, but the team did, so I went with them.
Exactly.
Anyway, unity and confidence flowing together is really the way forward as a team together. And this model is transferable, whatever section, whatever team, whatever sub, an intern, a student, whatever. Well, bless you. We so are so grateful for those of you that are serving in the house here. For those of you, we'll be serving in other houses of prayer in other days. And we just love the International Family of Affection. We're in this thing together to the end. Amen.